I don't know about you, but I have found myself here in recent years, it's very helpful for me to write something down. For some reason, I have a problem with remembering some things as well as I used to, and writing it down is a great help, isn't it? See, I could tell you need it too. So we see the wisdom of God in giving us the written word. And what a blessing it is. The remainder of time this morning, I want to just speak about some of the blessings of being in Christ. Now, this is something we spoke several times about being in Christ. And there's different aspects of being in Christ. But this morning, I'm trying to adjust here for the time remaining. Appreciate everything that's been said. Ask an interest in your prayers that we can kind of approach this in this way. But rather than trying to, anytime we preach any subject, we know it's not exhaustive because we don't know it all. But I do want to just take several thoughts about being in Christ and notice the blessing of it. What a blessing that God purposed to save a people from their sins. And he chose to do that by himself, in his Son. And we were given a glimpse of that way back in Genesis 22, weren't we? You know, when Abraham was told to take Isaac, thy son, thine only son, and offer him as a burnt sacrifice unto me. Remember that? Isn't that a beautiful chapter? And on the way up there to do this sacrifice, Abraham left his servants and took the wood and Isaac and a knife and some fire. And Isaac was old enough to know, if we're going to do a sacrifice, there's something else we need. And he said, Father, here's the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for an offering? You remember what Abraham told Isaac. My son, God will provide himself. Think about that for just a second. God will provide himself a lamb for an offering. You know, here lately we've been looking at Acts chapter 2. And just to kind of frame why we're talking about this morning. In Acts chapter 2, we've come to the fact that then they that gladly received, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Brother Tommy, how long would it take you to baptize 3,000 folks? We'd love to try, wouldn't we? All right. Now, I'm sure that the apostles shared that, but still, even with 12 men, that would have taken a while. All right? And then it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And so I've been pondering the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. Lots of things have changed in those last 2,000 years, haven't they? But the apostles' doctrine, because it's the word of God, because it's what God gave us and it was right to start with, that doctrine has not changed. All right? And so as we think about the word of God, and it does not change, because God gave us his will, he revealed his will to us in the scriptures, And we know that Malachi 3 and 6 says that I'm the Lord and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Then, bless your hearts, we understand that God doesn't change. And when he gives us his word, that word's not going to change. Circumstances around us change, and our modes of travel and many of the things that we have in this building today, the apostles didn't have in their day, yet the word of God is still the same. We have the blessing of it being in English instead of those original languages, but as Brother Thomas was preaching, he talked about how that the fact that God in his providence has given us his word in our language, and we ought to avail ourselves to it. And when we think about the apostles' doctrine, now, it wasn't original with the apostles, was it? It's what God gave to them to preach. And the focus of that doctrine is on Jesus Christ. Remember what Brother Thomas read to you from John chapter 20? When he says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That was the focus of the message of the apostles, wasn't it? It's the word of God, but the focus was on Jesus Christ. The law had been fulfilled in Christ. God had given his law. It was a good law, wasn't it? It was holy and just and pure. God gave that law, and it was right. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world to fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy it, but to fulfill it. And he did that, didn't he? And we can rejoice in that. And so the focus then, those things being fulfilled, then it was time for the promises of God. And it's interesting, another thing that, another chapter that Brother Thomas was in, if you go back to Luke chapter 1, again, thinking about the focus of the preaching of the apostles, the apostles' doctrine, later on, from where Brother Thomas read in Luke chapter 1, as Zacharias, once he was able to speak, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was speaking about John and the ministry that God would give to John, and that he was to prepare the way of the Lord. Down in verse 72, he says, let's go with 70. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which has been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. I'm going to tell you, that was the message of the apostles' doctrine. As Christ had been sent into this world, as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the focus was on Jesus Christ. Jesus being the Christ. See, they were looking for Messiah. But the Jewish nation rejected Jesus as the Messiah. And so when the Holy Ghost came down on the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit was working mightily on that occasion, and bless your hearts, part of what Peter said is that he hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have taken and crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Christ. And what did Jesus come to do? To save us from our sin. Did he do it? Did he get the job done? How much of that is left for you? Thank you. The apostles' doctrine, preaching that God had purposed from the foundation of the world to send his son. And when they're preaching the doctrine that Jesus is the Christ, was proving that God was performing the promises made unto the fathers. Oh, the great event of the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is the Christ. We can rejoice in that. And he's given that to the church, that we would rejoice, our focus being on Jesus Christ. Learning his word. Now he is the word, isn't he? But he's the living word. And that word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But we have his written word that reveals the beauty and the glory of this living word. And so we rejoice in that word. So he purposed Part of the blessings of the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, being what God gave them, what God gave them to preach, all right, not original with them, it's the Word of God, but the focus being on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. And what Jesus came and did, what he accomplished, his death, his resurrection, that's what we preach. And even though the Spirit is working mightily in the New Testament, yet the Spirit is bearing witness to Jesus being the Christ. We rejoice in that. And so, when we speak about God purposing to do these things, usually we go to Ephesians 1 and 4, don't we? I mean, that's just a wonderful passage that we go to that speaks so clearly and just defines so much about the purpose of God, according as he hath chosen us in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me back up a verse. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, after Paul makes his introduction, and by the way, he's addressing the book of Ephesians, okay, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That tells us to whom this is directed, all right? To the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus. So Thomas was talking about how that sometimes something familiar to you, that all of a sudden when you're reading it, something just kind of jumps off the page and becomes real fresh to you. That's, as I've been pondering this, it's amazing to me how often the apostles would make reference of Jesus Christ. Okay? Not just Jesus or not just Christ, but tying the two together. In other words, again, the focus of the message of the apostles is that Jesus is the Christ. Verse 3 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where? In your obedience? In your faithfulness? All those are good things, but they're not good enough, are they? Those blessings are in Christ. And Jesus is the Christ, isn't he? All right? All spiritual, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I heard Ella Sonny Piles years ago use an illustration. I'll adapt it for our locality. He said, you know, if all the money in the world, and we'll just use something local, if all the money in the world, some of you are familiar with Headland National, I think the name's changed lately, hasn't it? All right, but we know it as that. If all the money in the world were in that bank, where would you have to go to get any money? It'd be there, wouldn't it? Well, here he says, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That tells us that all blessings come to us through Jesus Christ. In Christ. That he is the source of all of our blessings. All right? You see why the focus of our life ought to be faithful to him and serving him? Because he's the source of all our blessings. So if we're going to choose to live our life and walk contrary to the teachings of Scripture and contrary to the doctrine of Christ, what do you expect? How can you expect much blessings through Christ? What we can expect from that through the law of sowing and reaping would be chastisements, right? Now, we understand that what Jesus came and did, he did for us eternally. That if we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians 1 and 4, if we were chosen in him, then bless your hearts, and as Jude tells us that we're preserved in Christ Jesus. And as Romans chapter 8 tells us, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Then, bless your hearts, we understand that what those for whom Jesus died are eternally secure in the blood of Jesus Christ. So not only did God purpose to save us, and Jesus came and accomplished that by his sacrifice, his death, and by his resurrection, we have the greatest evidence that he accomplished what the Father sent him to do. So not only do we have, because we're in Christ, not only do we have it was the purpose of God to save us, but bless your hearts, what we also find is that all our sins were judged in him. Now let me make a distinction here. I'm not saying you won't have to suffer the chastisement of the Lord for your disobedience. We do have to deal with that, don't we? All right? But we're eternally secure in Christ. You know, when we realize, when we take a good, hard look at ourselves, you know, we got accustomed to thinking about looking in the mirror. If you ever pause and look in that mirror and look deep into your own eyes, look into your own heart. Look at what's there. The truth of the Word of God says is the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And while we're thankful that God gives us a new nature and His Spirit so that we can follow Him, so that we can perceive the things of the kingdom of God, that we can see it, we can hear it, we can taste the things of God, we have that desire working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, we know that we still come short. And because we still come short, then bless your hearts, we can be thankful to God that He sent His Son to this world to save us from the penalty of our sins. And the judgment of God was upon our sins, wasn't it? And that judgment of God rested upon His Son. It's not that we were just exempt. It's not that He just wiped the slate clean because we're His chosen people. Those sins had to be paid. The debt, that is, had to be paid. But instead of us, because there's no way we could ever pay for it, is it? It wouldn't do any good for us to go to the cross. It wouldn't do any good for us to suffer. It wouldn't do any good for us to try to endure the wrath of God for the payment of our sins because we're polluted in sin. But that's why He had to send His Son. And that's why Jesus had to be born the way He was born. That's why Jesus lived that perfect life. That's why that He showed us His hatred for sin. That's why He was perfect and sinless in every respect. So that when the time came, there were many times that they tried to take Him before the time, but His hour was not yet come, right? But when that hour came, He was still the spotless, sinless Lamb of God to take away our sins. And so He was the perfect sacrifice. And so, because God had purposed to save us in Christ, then when Christ came, when Jesus Christ came into this world, and when He went to the cross, He bore the wrath of God to pay for the penalty of our sin. The price of our redemption, Jesus endured that upon the cross. Our sins are judged in Him. Aren't you glad you're in Him? Not only did God purpose to save us, but our sins were paid in Him. Now, because we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, then He came to represent us. And when we make mention of Genesis 22 a while ago, then we understand that when Abraham told Isaac, "My son, God will provide Himself." Himself, not for Himself, but Himself, a lamb for an offering. And that's why John the Baptist would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That's why Paul would sell the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 5:7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's why those things were said, and that's written for our learning, that God is performing, or God was performing what he had promised, and we have the record of it. And we can read it, and we can learn that how God had promised these things and how he performed it. The Old Testament saints didn't have the blessing that we have today of the record of what God has done. But we have it, and we ought to avail ourselves of it more than we do. That's why we need to write things down, don't we? So we can remember it. God knew that. That's what we've already heard this morning. God knew that we were going to need that, and so he had it written down. So not only did God purpose to save us, not only were our sins judged in Christ, but God loves us. Because of Jesus Christ, because we're in him, he loves us just as much as he loves his Son. You know that? John 15:9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. He loves us for Jesus' sake. He loves us just as much as he loves his Son, because we were in his Son when he came to perform all that he did for us. Oh, I tell you, because of what he's done for us, because our sins were judged in him, because our love, or his love, is set upon his Son and upon us because we're in him. See, when Jesus went to that cross, he did it for us. He represented us. We have a sacrifice for our sins. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, because of that, if you go to Romans chapter 8, the chapter begins, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Get to the end of that chapter, there's no separation. I tell you, when we ponder, and I'm just kind of hitting some of the highs, but as we ponder the blessings of our being in Christ, we've got something to rejoice about every day we live. As we've been going through the Psalms here for several years now, and as we've noticed from time to time and time, over and over, we find that even though our circumstances may not be all that great, God's love and his mercy and what he's done for us and what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we're in him, we've always got something to rejoice about. And we need to learn that. And we need to practice that. That every day we live, even if there's something in our life that's a tremendous burden and a heartache, and we don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, if you're blessed to know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, do you remember what Jesus told Peter about that? Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You've been blessed of the Father to understand that. Heaven will be your home. Your sins are paid for through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God had purposed to do that from the beginning. That wasn't an afterthought with God. He's not up there wringing his hands wondering how all this is going to turn out. He had purposed to do that. Jesus has done that. And the doctrine of the apostles was to preach that Jesus is the Christ and preach the truth of God's word, which is what we need every day to instruct us, to feed us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us while we go through this low ground of sin and sorrow. There's a lot of things to enjoy, but there's a lot of challenges in this life, isn't there? There's a lot of heartaches, a lot of disease, a lot of injury. A lot of disappointments. A lot of frustration. Oh, bless your hearts. Remember the blessed benefits of being in Christ. Like I said, we've just touched on a few of them this morning. I encourage you to read about it. I encourage you to take what is written. Go home and read about the blessing of being in Christ. Christ. As Brother Thomas closed, he said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning." Why? That we may, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, have hope. There's every reason for our hope to be a lively hope, just like we sang about this morning. There's every reason for us to be joyful in our hearts in what God has blessed us to know about Him and what He's done for us. There may be a lot of things about this life that bring us down. There may be a lot of challenges that we face each day. But bless your hearts, if we're thinking about in Him, we're in Him. We're beloved of the Father. He purposed to save us. Jesus saved us by what He did. Heaven will be our home. We've got something to rejoice about, don't we? May God help us to think about Him. May God help us to bless that our focus would be upon Jesus is the Christ and what He accomplished for us. The grace that's been given to us. We didn't deserve a bit of it, did we? Oh, but how thankful we are and how we can sing His praises that He has blessed us to understand these glorious truths, and we still rejoice in the truth of the apostles' doctrine even today. May God bless you is our prayer.